Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
It seems that once or twice a year, I always manage to send out a tribute to a particular product that that really just gets me through my week. Now, over the weekend, due to a severely depleted immune system brought on by copious amounts of alcohol on Friday night, I believe
and
I got
physical
my son's
exertion,
cold.
Right?
And well, emotional exertion. Right?
Understood.
To be
yes.
honest with you, emotional exertion. And I, yesterday, it really took hold. Carla's had it, Michael's had it, and I have it yesterday at the beginning of the show. Not as bad as I have it this morning, but yesterday evening, it was, the cold had arrived. And so when I am sure that I have a little head cold, I say to my wife, I said, do we have our drugs? And that, of course, is the fine Vicks products of NyQuil and DayQuil.
Yes.
And
magic potions.
I am here to tell you that the NyQuil Corporation or the Vicks Corporation.
Lavoris, yes, Vicks Lavoris.
Lavoris, all the fine products. Is Lavoris still a thing?
I don't think so.
What about Johnson & Johnson?
Johnson & Johnson. I like Johnson, but I don't like the other guy. Mm.
Let me explain the level of illness that I had. Yesterday, I turned off the television and I began simply to surf the net. And I was watching because Rob is a very big part of my feed. He will communicate with his dad sometimes, and I will dive in.
Yes.
And there, I think between the three of us, there are many nostalgia buffs on online, and I'm in a nostalgia world now. Might be till I die because I'm 60, and so I'm watching these different things. And I do my own dive, and I am sitting there in my depleted condition, and I am watching Myron Cohen videos.
Who's Myron Cohen again?
Myron Cohen was a Jewish stand-up
was
comedian.
Was he Jewish?
Who worked the Catskills and was known as the great storyteller.
He did the Ed Sullivan show a lot. Ed Sullivan liked him, and that kept him in the public eye for much of the 60s. But the problem was, he wasn't very funny. He was a storyteller.
Do you remember? You guys... All he tells is these stories.
Essentially,
but he's not. But he's not a comedian.
He's not a setup punch guy. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Myron Cohen, he likes to do. He tells stories like an old lady would tell a story.
Ooh.
You know, that's kind of the way he tells a story. But I'm fascinated with my head cut because I'm in this depleted condition.
So these two men, as they're going down to the city, and they say,
no, but he doesn't do that. But he doesn't do that. He almost speaks with a British accent. See, if you really do. I did the deep dive on, ladies and gentlemen, it's great to be here today, and I would like to tell you a story. Yeah,
but he will sometimes people, use character
but then
voices.
He will break into the Yiddish voice. Mm,
you're right.
So the lady walks into the baker, and she says, I would like a loaf of bread. She says, well, it's come to time the Tuesday be. And it's just, you know what? Can we find him? What's your capability?
Like book him?
Is he still alive?
No, he's dead. He would be warm
food. I dated
Cohen
once.
40 years.
She was so sweet. Yeah.
Really?
She taught me what matzo ball soup was all about.
Oh, I know matzo ball soup. Yeah. Used to be a restaurant in Washington, D.C. called Duke Zebert's.
Ooh.
And it was
is that the only part of the matzo you can eat?
The balls. All right.
It was pretty good.
I did so many weird things on TV last night.
Oh, dear.
I watched I think it's a Netflix show called Rotten, which is about the food industry, and found out that that avocado is really, it's like a testicle.
From where?
That's the word for testicle.
Really?
From Mexico or
from
Ecuador?
It's like an Aztec word for testicle.
Avocado.
Avocado. Or so, I don't know.
You're absolutely right.
Oh, look at this guy.
Thank you, Pony. The old Aztec word for avocado is the same as the word for testicle because it was a life-giving fruit.
When did you become a testicle expert?
Oh, I've always been.
Well, you know.
But self-taught.
Ever since puberty.
You know something? The things you weigh in on, Mr. Bloom.
He chooses his battles.
The things you weigh in on stun me.
Speaking of testicles.
Do you have Myron?
Yes.
Do you have Myron?
Okay. Little five-year-old sister's little boyfriend. My father could beat your father. He says, big deal. So can my mother.
That's a joke.
And let me tell you about a little bitty guy in kindergarten. All day long, he walks around the classroom. My mommy gonna have a baby. My mommy gonna have a baby. She can't make him quit. She locks him in a closet. Mommy gonna have a baby. Put him in a corner with a dunce cap. Mommy gonna have a baby. Well, the following afternoon, and some of you little mothers in the audience have done this, and I've seen it happen.
Little mothers.
His little mother, a youngster, took his little hand and put it on her tummy, and he felt the movement of the unborn child. Well, for the next 2 days in class, he didn't open his mouth. Well, the teacher began to wonder about this. She said, Johnny, what about the baby? She said, I think my mommy ate it.
Not funny, but it's just his little... And then he looks at the audience, gives his little...
Here's his face. You know.
Oh, I recognize that guy.
No, Oscar's lying.
He's lying.
I saw him on Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
He might have been referenced on Maisel.
I bet.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know what? Fun, and isn't fun the best thing to have
why
in
not?
The world?
Fun.
And now, so I've got this little cold, and after doing this, I realized that it's time for medication. So at approximately 8:30.
We're going out for medication.
We're going out. Tell you, Bunkages. The only impressions I will be able to do will be Walter Matthau and Alan Arkin.
Yes.
In my current state, Michael, do you want to have your NyQuil? So I go and I say, can you get me some NyQuil? Mm-hmm. So about 8:45, Carla gives me what I call my shot and a half of NyQuil.
Sure.
Because I take just a little bit more than the average bear. Because when I want it, I want it.
I thought it was, and don't get me wrong, and I'm no doctor, Mike. You know this. I thought it was ratio, like a mass body weight ratio for the NyQuil and how it affects the person.
I believe he's right. I think what happens is that the NyQuil dose is based on a person of average build, which, as you know, is criminally underweight. So
inadequate for you or me.
Exactly. Wouldn't even touch
or
us.
Or me.
Or you. So or I do a shot.
If you got a face cold.
And yeah. The NyQuil, I wasn't, I don't know, you know, I said I've talked to.
Because my face is fat.
Well, Incans have high cheekbones.
Yes.
Right. Have you lost a little weight, though? Have you lost a little weight?
I look the same. No weight has been lost. Just insults continue to come in. I like that when to change.
I think it's safe for me to say, even a month in advance, when I come out on the stage at in Las Vegas, the comments in the audience. Oh my God, he's gotten big.
Yeah,
but anyway, that's okay.
We have a call with Zappos today to reinforce the stage.
Dark
we'll be
colors,
all right.
Mike. We'll be okay. Dark colors.
Dark colors. All of us. Yes. Absolutely.
Orson Welles.
So hey, you know, don't look for me in a sport coat. All right, look for me in a tarp. So here's what it is.
Maybe, Mike, we don't even have to make an entrance. We'll just bring the lights up.
Yeah. Maybe you and I can just get a black curtain to go across the stage and we'll stick our heads out.
Hello.
Like a puppet show.
Yeah. A puppet show. Guess the way. Moomin chance. So anyway, 8:45, take my shot and a half. And I'm gonna tell you that outside of medical procedures where I have been, handled by a skilled anesthesiologist.
Ooh, general anesthesia, yeah.
I have never. 8:45, I turn on my little avocado show, and by 9 p.m., the light goes out, and she says, you're going to sleep? I said, I am asleep. Bam, 9 hours.
What a great feeling.
Nine hours.
And
you would think what a great feeling.
I'd kill for 9 hours.
No, the waking up this morning, because Carla has at 5:30 a.m. an alarm that goes, beep-de-de-de.
That's a sweet alarm
from her phone.
Yeah, but I hate. You can grow to hate any alarm. You know what I woke up to today? The song Lou Rawls. You'll never find another love like mine. That's what I chose to wake up to today.
I could wake up to that one. That was
beautiful.
I can do that impression with a cold.
Sure, better.
As long as you live, someone who cares about you the way I do.
Look at this.
Fantastic.
Love it.
You'll never. Anyway, so. The process of getting it requires the better part of a half hour. It's sitting there with my mask on.
Are you
on,
cloudy?
My fat man. I am beyond cloudy. I'm just sitting there going, the first sounds I made were these. And I have the mask on. Then it's mask off 10 minutes later. We're talking about 5:40 now. 5:50, I remove the mask. and you would think I'm out. I got to be, the dog's got to be walked, and I got to get my little guy to the bus at about 6:30 in the morning.
Right.
I'm running. There's not enough time.
We had the same schedule this morning. I woke up around 5 a.m.
Wow. I mean, did you have a reason for that? You never get up early.
Well, I woke up. I got dressed to go for a run to try to get back in shape for life and my heart. And
that's dedication.
Right? That's very nice.
The pre-day run, that's a very big deal.
So I got up. I got completely dressed. I had a yogurt. I said, woe is me. I'm full. I wonder what's on CNN. And then I lay down on the couch and fell back asleep. That's all it was. Oh,
so it didn't work.
It didn't work.
So now you're just sleeping in shifts like you live on a submarine.
So if you're keeping track of this, 8:45 p.m. the night before, double shot of NyQuil, the shot and a half of NyQuil.
Right.
To bed, 9 o'clock. Sleep straight through. Stir a couple of times, but by and large, up at Carla's alarm at 5:30 in the morning. The process is lie and grunt for 10 minutes. 10 minutes of the mask being removed,
right,
and lying in bed, still grunting. Then at about 5 of 6, I sit on the bed, and it's just like,
Is the grunting sort of a plea for Carla to come up and be miserable with you?
No. Okay. No, because I know her schedule. She's getting the little guy's stuff ready. We are a machine.
You have a system.
We have our rotation. She's up at 5:30. She's getting ready to do her thing. She's going to work out before she goes to her skin beauty school thing.
That's how you win.
And then
work out early.
And it's chop, 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 chop. She's doing a little thing. He likes peppers, believe it or not. My kid likes raw peppers. Go figure that. That's what he digs. And so she's getting him ready. Then 6 o'clock, she's in there. By this time, I am on my feet at about 2 minutes before 6 o'clock. And then I've got the little maniac chihuahua who now relies on me and knows that he's going to be taken out as soon as my fat ass gets through the door.
What percentage are you at by the point? I know you probably woke at a low percentage. But what percentage are you at by the time you are on your feet and locomoting?
Because you're booting up.
Yeah, you're booting essentially.
22%.
Your hard drive's at 22%?
Wow. Tops. I'm walking the dog. Man. I don't even know where I am.
Estimated time remaining, 10 and a half minutes.
Yeah, we're literally loading MS-DOS.
Yes. I am literally not functional. I am rebooting like an analog connection in the 1980s.
I guess the
1990s.
Yes.
I'll give you a little more credit.
Okay.
The 1990s. But then slowly, with the 2 cups of Tazo, that's my drill.
Tazo tea, high end.
Tazo tea. Yeah, I do a high end tea.
Yes.
I do a high end tea.
Yeah.
I've
seen those Tazo tea prices, let me tell you.
Sure.
So Mrs. O'Mara goes out to grocery store. She says, get him a high-end tea. I say, I'll get him a tea. I'm doing Myron Cohen. I don't know what's wrong with me. I really don't know what's wrong with me.
I think there might be a little of that bluish-green liquid still surging through your body.
Thank you.
Oh, dear.
Thank you very much. It's red, actually. No. What is that? NyQuil's red.
No, well, NyQuil, the cherry NyQuil is red, but the classic Sambuca flavored is a greenish blue.
Don't care for the Sambuca. I love it.
Even since a boy, I love it.
Yellow-orange.
Yeah. Has anybody ever done is it ZQuil, which is the non-cold version of NyQuil?
He does it all the time.
All the time.
He takes it before the audio vault.
Isn't that supposed to mess you up a little bit?
I take a quarter bottle a night.
A quarter bottle?
Yeah, because you build a tolerance to it.
That's like destroying your liver. When is your brother, the doctor, going to get here?
He's being picked up right now from National, DCA.
All right, we're going to talk to him. You should not be touching that.
Oh, we should not share these things with my brother. My brother doesn't need to know these things.
Oh, I'm worried about you with the bottle. Are you talking every night?
Every night. Well, during the week.
Every goddamn night?
During the week.
Read the bottle. It's going to tell you this is bad for you.
I want my mind to turn off, and I did ask him for that Michael Jackson serum, Profanol. And he will not give it to me.
What about a Benadryl?
Oh, no, those were way past Benadryl. By the way, non-habit forming.
I would think the ZQuil
sounds like
was,
it as you drink 4 bottles a week, it's a non-habit forming.
It says ZQuil is non-habit forming. It says they're right there on the bottle.
Does anybody else know about ZQuil?
He's like Peter O'Toole.
It's got to be horrible for you.
If you build a tolerance to something, it almost always means it's addictive.
Yeah, true enough.
If you're not talking about testicles, I'm not listening to you.
It means testicle.
You
ZQuil
buy ZQuil.
It's an Aztec word.
You regularly consume ZQuil.
We have 5 bottles in that big pack that you can buy at a Walmart.
So
you can order it that way.
I always thought it was a pill. Is it not a pill?
You can get in pill form.
Of course.
We have the bottles.
Okay, of course.
You go with the liquid.
Yes, the liquids.
I've always heard that if you like overdo that stuff or you take NyQuil just to sleep, that it's very bad. It's a very slippery slope.
I've also heard that
not for the addiction, but for your liver. It can hurt your liver.
I've heard that if you overdo NyQuil, it actually keep you up. Like if you did like a huge, huge dose, it'll make you wired.
I used to start with a cup, then 2 cups, and then now like, well, why bother with a cup? I know I need to get at least a quarter of the bottle inside my system.
So you just chug, chug a little bit.
Yeah.
I have the info right here. It says ZzzQuil is not addictive at the recommended dosage. However, people who take a higher dose run a risk of becoming dependent.
Oh.
When was the last time you took... There she is. There she is. When was the last time you took ZzzQuil?
Last night.
That's so why every, you're not on every time school for work night? In the morning.
Every I need to turn off my brain.
But don't you think he'd be better off with like regular medical prescriptions?
Or maybe just a cocktail.
The sugar will wake you up.
You don't have to have sugary cocktail.
Alcohol works as a stimulant for me.
True.
What cocktail?
I drink alcohol and I shout obscenities at people that disagree with me politically.
Let's play a game here.
All right.
Let's say I go to dinner alone.
Right.
Because that's just
as you often do.
And I may have let's say 2 Jack and Cokes.
All right.
Right.
And what should have been a halibut, but I get a hamburger. And then I get home roughly at 9:30. I put myself in the envelope by 10:30. And my wife says, let's watch 3 episodes of something. I said, please, let's just go to bed. I'm exhausted. Right. I pass out. I wake up. If I had a drink, I wake right up like at 3:30 a.m. And then
it's probably because you had a caffeinated cocktail.
What puts you to bed?
No. Alcohol is a stimulant. I can have like wine or beer and I will be up. I will stay up and watch the Magic Box and I won't be able to get to sleep.
My
sleep is fitful. Do you sleep well with alcohol?
Yes.
Of course you do.
I need it.
Talk about addicted. Do you have a drink every night?
Every night.
Every night?
Yeah, pretty much.
Beer or your beer, your hard liquor?
Usually beer. It's been beer. Okay. But you know, as we move into the fall, I may treat myself to a nice bottle of rye. You never can tell.
How many beers on average a night?
Be honest.
4 or 5.
Okay. All right. So that's a lot. By yourself?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, if there's people around, that's fine.
Linus is there.
Was that?
Linus.
Yeah, Linus, but he doesn't drink. He's a kid.
Yeah, but he hangs out with you.
Sure he does.
You're not drinking alone.
No. That's the sign of a problem.
Rob just makes me laugh sometimes just being here. Maybe because I'm all goofed up on drugs. No.
But if you were to have something.
Let me see if I do my Rob. I'm going to do my Rob physical impression. Okay. Well, how many a night? 4 or 5? Like, what's it to you?
No, it's not that. Okay. It's just you drink till you're done, then you go to bed.
The math we do as friends is 10 or 15.
No, it's not going to be 15 a night. I'd be dead.
Okay, but as a friend, if the way you respond, we automatically say there's no way it's 4 or 5. We double that. 8 or 10.
8 would not be out of the question, but I would say 8 is not common.
8 maybe 3 times a week?
Definitely on the weekend, but not on a school night.
So he's got an 8 in him. I always thought, in the way that at least my metabolism works, once the alcohol is worn off, whether it's whiskey or beer, I wake the F up in the middle of the night and it ruins the sleep cycle.
I'm going to tell you, though, I'm not worried about, really worried about the addiction factor because it is over the counter, but I am much more
concerned. Don't give us anything that's addictive.
I'm much more concerned about the liver factor.
Yeah.
Because these things aren't good for... Pony, does it say anything about the liver?
I didn't see anything about permanent effects. It just says that it can be habit-forming if you take more than the recommended dose.
And are you on the ZzzQuil website?
Oh, I was looking at the very first thing that came up for ZzzQuil. I'll do a deeper dive now and see.
Please.
Yeah, because, you know, like even something as simple as Tylenol can be bad for your liver if overused.
If you go down to the bottom of the page, see how it affects the testicles.
The avocados, Tony. See how it affects the avocados.
Balls.
But my wife.
By the way, all food is a criminal enterprise. Water, food, sugar.
Yes,
everything.
Yes.
Criminal enterprise.
My wife will take a sip of the ZzzQuil, like I would say a quarter cup, and she's out like a light.
Every night she does the same
thing?
Do you serve it to her, Mr. Cosby?
She cries herself to bed.
Of course. Pillow's still wet from last night's tears.
If you're both doing ZzzQuil, somebody's gonna knock on your door one day, like on a Saturday. You're both gonna be blue. Somebody's gonna go in, like, we'll send Pony down there, and you'll both be like,
no, he'd go to the wrong house.
Yeah, he would.
That's what would happen.
Hi, I'm looking for the murder suicide house. Oh, I'm sorry, it's not here.
Aren't there sleep aids that are prescription that are usually designed for regular usage, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, what's the one they used to get from
Ambien?
Your,
is that the one?
Oh, yeah. I'd love some Ambien,
but that would still be some. Liver. Yeah, they all pick up your liver.
And Ambien, right? Did you know Ambien, if used or abused, it's actually linked to hair loss.
You know what? I've had issues sleeping
it.
Before.
How long have you been taking
that
it?
That explains it.
Doing that right now.
Sorry How long for have you the been thumping. Taking it?
No, I think my hair loss is linked to my father.
Oh, okay.
I kept a journal when I had trouble sleeping. I don't have trouble sleeping now as much as I used to. Of a homeopathic, my own best sleep. I kept a record of it.
And you know, I have I NyQuil love that about at the top. You. I love
NyQuil,
that about you.
NyQuil is on my list
keep,
here.
Keep a record.
Regular use. There it is. I got a number three.
Okay.
Yeah, if you want to have a great night, at least this worked for me, I would go sound asleep. If you want to have a perfect night's sleep, eat an entire pineapple upside down cake. Thank you very much.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Let's give a firewood welcome to Mr. Alan Shepard.
Thank you very much. Hello, Camp Firewood. Hello. Thank you for having me. You know, I went to sleepaway camp so long ago that it was the Stone Age. No, but seriously, it wasn't the Stone Age. It was the Ice Age. No, no, it was the Stone Age. But folks, actually, I went to Camp Mahmoudin in the Pine Hills of Westchester, New York. And that was so long ago. For breakfast, we had to eat scrambled pterodactyl eggs and wrap the bacon. Back then, we didn't have cots, we had slabs. Instead of sleeping bags, we had sleeping pelts. When I was at camp, my favorite activity was always arts and crafts, or as we used to call it, arts and farts and crafts. We used to make drawings. Cave drawings! Which is my way of saying we were cavemen. I went to camp so long ago that I can remember saying sticks and stones may break my bones and meaning it. I went to camp so long ago that Jesus Christ was my counselor and my best friend hadn't fully evolved yet. His name was Ugg and he walked on all fours. There were two epidemics when I went to camp. Head lice and the plague. The bubonic plague.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana, and now, the best of O'Mara.
Rob Spiewak went down to his older person's wedding. The Thoughtful Friday wedding.
Yes, it was in Rehoboth Beach, and I found out something I didn't know. It's spelled Rehoboth. It's not Rehoboth. It's Rehoboth. So I was spelling it wrong every time I was Googling something. I had to figure that out.
And well, how did you think you said it's R-E-H-O... B-O-T-H.
I thought it was B-E-T-H, Rehoboth. I thought it was Rehoboth.
How did you, what was your, when you graduated, do you graduate with honors?
Oh, I was magna cum laude, yes.
How did that happen? Because you're in Ballinhead.
Because, Mike, I was studying too hard to go to the beach.
Wow, but I mean Rehoboth, it's Rehoboth.
Rehoboth.
Have you ever been to the Eastern Shore?
Of course, but I hadn't been to Rehoboth. I've never been to Rehoboth.
You've never been. He's never been to Rehoboth.
I've never been to Rehoboth. I've done Ocean City. I've done Chincoteague. I've done the other Eastern Shore. Anyway, I also know that Rehoboth it comes from an old Indian word that says you must pay for parking. This is this. I spent so much time
on the street
everywhere. We shared a hotel room with some friends. Our room got one parking spot. So I eventually had to download a parking app. So every 3 hours, I would just add to the meter. There's no parking in the entire town.
You shared a hotel. What do you mean you shared a hotel room with some friends?
We had
you and your wife and another couple?
It was me and it was Carrie and it was Tony and it was Charlotte and it was, what's her name? I can't think of her name. But there was another lady there too.
Five people in one room?
Hold on a second. Yeah. Hold on. Five people in a room together?
Yes. It was two queen size beds and a pull out bed. I mean, it was a big
everybody,
room.
The women in the... What?
Yeah. You guys swinging?
No.
What's
going
on?
Nobody got any action.
Like people getting up in the morning with bad breath and farting and going into the bathroom in one hotel room?
Mm-hmm. It's not exactly how I would have planned it, but it ended up working out.
You guys play Jenga to find out who's doing what first?
No. I don't even know how that would work.
So you have a couple in one bed.
Me and Carrie were in one queen-size bed.
A couple in another queen-size bed.
Tony and Charlotte in the other bed.
And then a pull-out bed with a woman, another adult?
And Julian, that's in another room. That's like in the living room area. That was way down the hall.
Is it poles to poles or holes to holes?
You'd have to ask them. I don't know.
Okay. Excuse me.
Did anybody snore?
Carrie snored.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think I snored.
Are you close to this couple? Or?
Well, no. I mean, they're all high school friends. None of the others were couple. I was the only significant other that was in the room. So that's why Carrie and I were in the same bed.
Well, I don't want to speak out of school. Why is this weird to us? You and I are freaked out by this.
We like people.
We like people.
I love people. Yes. I don't want to share
a
room.
Lie. You don't love people. You like people.
I don't like to share a room. I don't like to travel with guys in my own room.
Ideally, it wouldn't have been what I chose, but it ended up working out. They've known each other for a million years. They're all friends from high school.
Who set up the sexual escapade?
Tony set it up.
What did you wear when you slept?
Horn dog, Tony.
Well, the first night, it had been, as you know, I got up quite early because we had the early start on Friday. Yeah. And by the time we wedding, receptioned, and post-reception, I ended up sleeping in a tie, suspenders, and I still had my keys in my pocket. So it was not a big deal. I was basically still fully dressed when I did get awakened at about 1 a.m. when Carrie came back from dancing and took my shoes off, bless her heart, because I had still had my shoes on.
So did you turn in a little earlier than the rest of the party?
I sort of conked out. Carrie said, we're going to go out dancing. I said, great, I'm just going to be in here. And gone. Next thing I know, it's 9 a.m.
The code word for dancing.
Yeah.
You know what that is.
When you wake up in the morning.
Yes.
Is it a hotel suite?
It was a hotel suite.
How big is the room?
Yeah.
How big you think square footage wise?
It was probably about twice as big as your house.
Okay, so like 1,600 square feet?
No, it wasn't big. It was probably like 700, 600 square feet. It was a big enough room.
And so it's a hotel room?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was like a Hampton Inn or something like that?
It was the Sands Conference Center, Mike.
So it's a regular hotel room. So you wake up in the morning, you've got Carrie in bed with you, and across the way is another couple?
No, it was Tony and Charlotte in the other queen size bed.
That's a couple.
Well, no, but they weren't a couple. And Tony prefers the company of men, so it's not a big deal.
Poles to poles. I knew it.
I don't know what that means.
So Tony, Charlotte's the girl,
right? And she's Tony's married to Sean, but Sean wasn't there.
Jesus Christ! So wait
this
a minute.
This is the devil's threesome times this three.
So you've got a gay man.
That would be
in
nine
bed
people.
With. You've got a gay man in bed with a straight woman.
Yes.
And then a separate bed. Who's in the other bed?
Carrie and I are in the other bed.
No, but the pullout.
Now, the pullout bed, Julia is down the hall in the pullout.
What do you mean down the hall?
Because Julia didn't go. No kids were there.
What do you mean down the hall?
Because there was the two beds and then like a hallway where, you know, off the hallway is the bathroom.
It's not a hallway. It's part of the room in the adjoining room.
All right. Then pass down the... It is a hallway. Don't tell me what it is and what it isn't. And then at the end of the hallway, there's the sitting room with the pullout bed. Because there's no way to describe it other than
the fact. How old is too old to have sleepovers? How old is too old, do you think?
This is like a college dorm we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Think, is it 40? I'd feel weird now doing that with my friends.
Well, you know, Carrie's significantly older than me, so all of her friends are 50. I'm not yet 50. So
everybody, you wake up in the morning. What's everybody wearing?
It's all naked.
You're in your clothing, but what do you sleep in Saturday night?
Saturday night, I slept in gym shorts and a t-shirt.
Okay. All right. What's everybody else wearing?
PJs?
What's
shorts?
What's Tony wearing?
Yeah.
Tony was in shorts, no shirt.
Built for speed or pleasure?
I don't understand the question.
What does he look like?
He's a handsome man.
All right. Just asking.
Built for speed or pleasure. What's Charlotte wearing?
I think Charlotte was just like in the sweats and a t-shirt.
You know why he's being so cagey about it?
Because he slept with all of them.
Yeah. Because he was into it.
Yeah, I was not into it.
I was totally not into it.
Hey, Tony, why don't you hit another room with
Charlotte,
the hallway?
Is Charlotte a nice-looking lady?
Everybody's fine, Mike.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Let's say you guys are out on the water. Are you guys all speedboats or pontoon boats?
That's the worst question I've ever been asked.
Is Julia sleeping in the pullout?
Julia's in the pullout down the hall. Yeah.
Is there anybody with her? I mean,
she's by herself. Weddings.
But I think what happened is that because she got sort of a short straw by having to sleep on the pullout, she got her own bed.
I thought you said she was sleeping on the pullout.
She was. That's her own bed.
Technically, the pullout would be a bed.
She'd have to sleep with some strange man.
That's right.
What about Tony and this illicit affair?
What illicit affair?
If my wife said she was sleeping next to another man on a road trip and with other five other adults, there might be an issue.
Well, yeah. You're
I
mean, an idiot.
I'd have a problem. I'd have a problem with it. Total outlay for the weekend. You got probably a pretty good rate after all that.
Well, what happened?
Sharing nine people.
We broke it down and it was funny. We started using the phrase person nights because it was how many people per how many nights. And then I think it turned out that Per person. I think it was for three nights because Carrie got there Thursday night. A dollar and a quarter. No, I think it was like $160 for three nights, which is not bad.
Will you talk about your movie tomorrow? Because we're out of time.
I will. Yeah, absolutely.
Quick question. Mm-hmm. Your wife went without you on Thursday to this hotel room?
Yes.
And then you went on Friday?
Yes.
So she had her own.
Try real hard to turn it into something, Oscar. Try really hard.
I'm not the one getting mad. No. I think we're just highlighting things you just realized.
Yeah, you know what she did? She slept in a room with three of her high school friends.
Yeah, but they're in their 50s.
That's right. Yeah. And if you want to see your 50s, shut the f*** up.
Well, look, he's so upset.
He's very upset.
You're protesting a little bit too much.
Yeah, you know
something
what?
Went on. And if something went on. Who touched who where on the door?
You know what? If Carrie got laid, good for her. I mean, God bless her.
The best of O'Mara.
Live.
Did a Santa voice commercial. Used to do this. God, they always got me to do that. I was always Santa. Hey, you know, I get Smokey Rivers down the hallway. Hey, Nick. Used to call me Nick because I was Nick Sticker.
Yeah.
Man, we need a Santa. Go in there and do a Santa.
Was Santa easier in the smoking days?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But now with the allergies and all
almost
this,
the
you know,
same.
I can do a good Santa. All right, on to the nickname. We don't have much time. I want to talk about this. I don't know why it bugs me, but it bugs me. I don't know where it came from. All I know, it's a conspiracy between my wife and my son that somehow my son has started calling himself Butch. Yes. Thank you, Rob, because that, yes, Oscar, thank you too. I like to see your reactions. That's why we have this television monitor.
My
Butch.
God.
Not okay.
I don't know what's happening.
Big Sundance Kid fan?
Does he fancy himself a bully? That's a good bully name.
You know what? I somehow go to Pulp Fiction. Remember Butch?
Butch.
Like
blueberry pancakes, Butch.
Butch. I don't like the nickname Butch.
Where would that come from in today's marketplace of names?
I don't know. I don't know where it came. It came from maybe a TV show he was watching. By the way, we have dramatically pulled back on the little screen because that is, and he's a better kid for it. But it really was like getting somebody off a narcotic.
Mm-hmm.
It was 2 days.
Yeah, wait him off.
We're not that on the floor. You know, he woke up yesterday. I said, "Why was he such a maniac when he came into the bedroom, saying things like, I'm never coming up in this bedroom again?" Mm-hmm. And Carla said, "Because he wakes up and sometimes he would be able in the morning to watch a tune early in the morning, and he's not. We're pulling off of that. And now this morning he was playing quietly." Came into the bedroom. He was perfectly okay. It's all right. But I don't know where the Butch.
Can you look
thing
up famous Butches on your iPad?
Yeah, the only one that comes to mind right away is Butch Patrick, who played Eddie Munster.
That's another one that popped into my head.
And I hate Butch Patrick. He's a stain.
He's
still alive. Still alive.
Isn't he still trading on the Eddie
of
Munster
course
thing?
He's still alive and counting on a show that he did like 46 episodes of 50 years ago.
I don't mind this name. I thought you were going to say Mikey.
No. I mean, I had the only nickname I had, and I still, when I went to my 40th year high school reunion, I still had people say Spike.
Spike.
A couple of people said Spike because it was like short lived, and I was Uncle Mike in college, but Butch just doesn't, I don't know where it came from, but Carla
is
in
bad
love
list
with it.
This is a bad list because it brought up famous Butches, and the first one is Rachel Maddow. I don't think that's the right list.
Oh, no. No, you got the wrong site there.
You know, Robert
that's not socially
Robert
acceptable.
Robert has given himself a nickname that I hate.
What is it?
Saucy.
What is wrong with your kids?
That's why I'm telling him. I said it's not okay. I said you don't
saucy.
Want
saucy.
Yeah, because he's so saucy. He's saucy Spiewak. I said that's an idiotic name.
Have you explored it at all as far as why he calls? Because I thought Butch was bad. Saucy is,
as a matter of fact, on the when he is linked on our phones, it says saucy Spiewak. I said don't call yourself that.
But you're buying into that name.
No, I don't use it. I just tell
him. Who calls him saucy?
He calls himself saucy.
Okay, what do you mean? Does he come up, hey, saucy, need some dinner?
Yeah, he does something like that. And I just, I mean, saucy. But then he's 15, you know. You
is he into sauces or is it saucy as in he's cool?
Saucy like he's cool.
Saucy needs a ride to the basketball court.
Yeah, saucy. Yeah. I'm
saucy
not having.
Saucy clogged up the toilet.
Saucy flushed batteries again. That was a long time ago. Let me see. I'm going to see if I can come up with a list.
Let me just tell you. Here's the dictionary definition of saucy.
Please.
Okay.
Impudent. Flippant. A saucy remark.
Yeah. Ooh.
So it's sarcastic.
Smartass.
That's a real... Smartass. It's a negative.
Yeah. Well, that's... You know what? I think he's just got a bad case of being 15.
The second North American definition is bold and lively, smart looking.
Okay.
Like jaunty, rakish, sporty. The cap sat at a saucy angle. So there's a good one and
like
a bad
jaunty.
One.
Jaunty. You know? There are no good Butches. Check it out. There's Butch Hartman. He's a screenwriter. That's the number one Butch in America right now. Butch Jones, football coach. Butch Patrick, TV actor. 64 was Eddie Munster. Butch Walker, guitarist.
Great Red Sox third baseman, Butch Hobson.
Let's see. Is he even on here? I don't see him. He didn't make the top 10.
Didn't play long enough.
Butch Trucks is a drummer. Butch Vig is a drummer. Butch Baltierra is a reality star. Butch Miller.
Do you notice he's trying to talk about Butch and I'm trying to talk about Saucy?
Yeah, well, no, because you're both embarrassed. Yeah,
Saucy, in the Urban Dictionary, a mixture between sassy and feisty. While sassiness is often subconscious, sauciness is always deliberate. Sauciness tends to have... Uh-oh.
What?
Sexual undertones.
Hey!
Oh, my God.
It's always good. It says it's always good to be a little saucy.
That, to me, it sounds like that definition is like a Dame Edna definition. Like, don't be saucy, possums.
Saucy can't get you pregnant.
No. The sauce itself.
Wow.
Gross.
So apparently...
I gross myself out.
Gross.
Oscar, I'm really sorry.
Yuck. They give like the... They give the exchanges with girl one and girl two. Yeah. Coconut guy saw me in the elevator holding Cosmo and asked about the 10 kinky quickies. And I was like, I already tested them all out. And girl number two says, so saucy.
Oh, scandalous.
Yeah, scandalous. It really is.
If you share this deep dive with him, he'll veer off of it a little bit.
I'm afraid he might embrace it further.
He's like, what's kinky, Paul?
Kinky paw. What is a now? Does Michael?
I'm gonna put Butch into the.
Michael is into Butch because the other Butch I thought of is there was on the Little Rascals. There was the bully that was Butch, and but that was 70.
That dog.
Years
in,
I'm gonna. You know what?
The blue
I'm
dog
show,
is named Butch. Is it?
What, which
I'm
dog?
Gonna show. I'm blue gonna dog. Show this to Carla today, and I think the Kids Butch book. Thing will go away.
Okay.
An overtly, stereotypically masculine or masculine acting woman.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that I will show that.
But how is Butch used in your home? Like, come on, Butch, let's roll.
First of all, if it's around me, they're not using it. But she's like, hi, Butch. Good morning, Butch. And she's looking at me grinning, and I'm like, I don't like this.
Well, you can't give them what they want
anymore.
They're going to keep doing it as long as you put resistance on it.
How does your son use it? Give us some context.
I love the Urban. I might be addicted to the Urban.
I love the Urban Dictionary. It really helps you.
Marge is, they use the sentence.
Don't put
Marge
that
is pretty butch. She's really strong, fixes cars better than a mechanic, and takes damn good care of her woman. There you go. I love the Urban Dictionary. Thanks, Marge.
Marge.
That's it. But Michael is not. But I.
How does Michael use butch?
I haven't heard him use it.
Okay. Well, then maybe
okay.
This is
so
a
you gave the
Carla
impression
conspiracy.
That he embraced it. Yeah, it's a Carla
I'm not
thing.
Sure.
Butch wax is a hair product they would use to make your flat top stand up. That's another use of the word butch. And of course, butcher block and a butcher. I guess it comes from being a butcher, right?
The bushwhackers?
Yeah. No, that's bush.
Just bush. Yeah. Bush.
Mm-hmm.
No, way down on the Urban Dictionary has masculine or macho dress and behavior, regardless of sex or gender identity.
That's why we call that person dresses
and acts in ways that are stereotypically considered masculine or macho. They are butch.
Yes, yeah, see Matthew Bloom.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
The butchest man in America, Matt Bloom.
Good care of my woman.
Yes. Macho Blue.
If only.
Well, his woman's porcelain, so technically he's right.
That's right. Taking care of her involves pledge and a dust rag.
Yeah, just dust her.
The revolution will be televised.
Cake and cookies.
Your OCD is nothing to be ashamed of.
It's also the depression. There's just a stigma that goes with it.
I don't think so anymore.
Okay, well then I'll wear my freak flag, fly it hot, high.
Yeah, don't be ashamed of your OCD. Be ashamed of the way you talk.
It's the Rob and Katie Show. For more information, visit us at morebroadcasting.com.
The pollution from the ocean, now with devotion.
The best of O'Mara.
Last night, I don't know, I forgot what these things are called. They're really like...
wine glasses?
Lemurs? Poor man's fireplaces, okay? They're...
Fire pits.
Oh, the Adobes.
It's an Adobe thing. It's like got the little chimney, and it's usually made out of clay.
Yeah.
And
do
it's,
you remember the Saturday Night Live bit, the car, the Adobe?
The Adobe.
Oh, ooh, the Adobe. It's the little car that's made out of clay.
Adobe.
I remember that. Red clay.
Man. Carla puts it's not a Duraflame log, but it's one of those fake logs in
sure.
The Adobe thing.
You had this when we were down there for...
You saw it.
Yeah, when we were down there for the baptism.
Am I describing it properly?
Yes.
I mean, it's just...
It's a clay fireplace.
It's a little standalone.
Yeah.
It's for a small place. It's for like an apartment or a condo, and you put it out on the patio.
No.
You'd probably be in trouble if you put it on a high-rise,
right? You can't even barbecue.
Could you get that on a balcony in a high-rise?
No. You would be...
No. No fires at all.
It would kind of be like 1914 Chicago if you did that. Pretty sure. The neighborhood would go. Yeah.
So it's for
a patio.
It's made for a patio. If you put it out there.
A lanai, Mike. We call them lanai.
Yeah, I know you did. Hold on. I got to do this now because I'm ADD. What do you call it, Rob? Because I called it a patio. What did Rob
call it?
No.
It's a lanai.
Thank you, Rob. I actually wait to use that music just for any excuse.
I love this music bed because you know what? It's one we don't visit that often.
Yes, and then you have to muffle your voice as I sing the Lanai song. Would you like to hear it, Oscar?
Oh, please.
Here it comes.
Okay. Here we go.
I'm
sorry, but anyway,
save some for Dad now.
Sheep.
hey,
Nathaniel, bring out Daddy another Mai Tai. I'm going to hit you in the back of the head again.
Oh, make sure Dom doesn't drink when she's pregnant. You're going to have a big forehead when you're born.
Yes, sirree. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. If Mom's drinking those Manhattans and smoking those Territon cigarettes, you're going to have a giant forehead, Nathaniel.
Four rotten boys. They don't have any concentration.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Lack focus, Dixie.
How you doing there? Gary, did you mow the lawn today? Oh, I got to break your right finger then. Boo. Yeah. Save some for Dad now. Bingo doesn't like it when his sons don't mow the lawn on time.
Do you know why I'm so rich? Never spent a dime on bicycle helmets. Yeah. I just let him ride and ride.
Ride and ride. Hey, Gary, why don't you ride that bike as fast as you can right into a tree, you little bastard. Bada-bing-bing-bing-boo. But anyway, so where was I?
The Adobe fireplace.
Yes. Ooh, it's Adobe.
Okay. Yeah. So the fire pit, we have a little Duraflame, but it's not a Duraflame.
Is it like a starter?
It's an actual one of those, logs you light on either end. It's supposed to be, it's a fake log. It's a Duraflame log.
It's it's an off-brand.
I think... I believe that this product was purchased at Walmart.
Of course.
I believe it was. And
that's something you really don't skimp on.
No.
That's something I wouldn't even process to skimp
what
or not.
Is,
I wouldn't think twice about it.
It's made out of wax and Chinese sawdust. I'm sure it's fine.
Okay. It's a four-hour log. That's what it's billed at. I'll go grab it. I'll do it. I got to go grab it.
I'll do it live.
I'm going to show you one. I'm going to show you one.
If the log lasts more than 4 hours, call a doctor.
Are they blue?
I think that, you know what? I know the concept of a Duraflame log is simple. It's really sawdust and wax.
Chemicals, yeah.
Yeah, and it burns pretty colors. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like magazines.
But I'm really not sure.
I used to burn magazines.
Oh, you roll them up tight?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
So cool.
I'm really not sure you want to go off-brand on this.
No.
No.
That and condoms.
Yeah.
Duraflame logs and condoms. Do not go off
bungee
brand.
Cords.
Yeah, I think it'd be Durex. That's a brand name. So Durex, Duraflame, anything
go.
That's Dura.
Nice. Yeah. Duracell.
Duracell. Oh, yeah.
Oh, for the vibrators.
The copper top.
Yeah.
The
oh,
copper geez. Top. Yeah. Now, you know, I used to, when we worked at the Christmas tree stand, we had a fire barrel.
Oh.
And we loved burning weird things because you get different right. colors
yeah,
and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of
batteries?
Sure. Yeah, sure.
They say hello to
birds.
Pine oh, Mountain.
Oh, my
oh.
God.
Oh.
That, looks good. That's the packaging.
No,
and it's got two languages. It's also in French.
It is.
Yeah. Boucher Catterl. That means 4-hour log in French.
Oh, 4-hour fire, boucher fleurs.
Oh, it is so cold at the chateau. Go get the green log.
It's French.
It
it's
is.
Got French on
it's Mike's
it.
French log.
There is my log.
Mm.
So
you'll be serving that at Easter, Mike's French log.
Was it worth it for show and tell? There
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Hey, well, read the label. Read the label to us because there's something on the banner I couldn't make out.
Pine Mountain. Your mountain retreat begins.
Yeah, it does.
4-hour fire. That's what it says.
Yeah, you know
that
what they don't explain is the retreat is going to be away from the fire. You'll be retreating into the safety of your home.
Here it is. I can say that, yes, it lasted for 4 hours. I can say, yes, it lasted for 14 hours.
Oh, no.
We came out today. I am sitting on the, you guys know the layout of my little place
yes.
down here.
Sure.
I look over to the left, and there is smoke coming out of the adobe, just pouring out of the adobe. It is
like
smoldering.
Like noticeable?
Like noticeable that it's been burning all night long, and
oh,
I have no idea.
No.
But not burning. It is just like a smoke bomb. If I was requiring helicopter pilots
right?
in war zones to find me, they would know where the smoke is.
The beautiful thing is you went out on the lanai this morning. You said, oh, look, they've selected a new pope. But, you know, I had a similar situation. I have a smoker, not like Pony, but like a meat smoker that
right.
I have on my deck. And I smoked, I think it was some ribs last summer. And
yes.
that requires you putting in chips of like wood every hour or so mm-hmm. because, you know,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
a
yeah,
slow
that's how it works.
Low thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I let it go for like a day and a half, and then I wanted to empty the ashes out. And I put them in a paper bag, in a plastic bag,
uh-oh.
And I watched the paper bag smolder,
catch
and then
fire.
The plastic bag melt.
Yeah.
And I had to go get the hose, and there's still burn marks on my deck that remind me what a great dad I am. I almost set the entire, but I thought 18 hours would be enough to let something
yeah,
like that
fair.
Burn out.
It's still smoking
Mike,
when I went out there.
They're getting great reviews online. There's also a 3-hour log.
Oh, for those that don't want to have commitment. If you really can't commit to a whole night in front
so
of the
not
Adobe.
Not that bad a brand. Apparently it lasted you longer than you thought.
It did, but it wasn't burning, Oscar. It was simply smoking.
Smoldering.
And I told,
what
and then
was,
I
was it clean before you threw the log in? Were there residual things
no,
that
there
could
was,
burn?
No, there was a lot of ash bed. There was
yeah,
a residual
yeah,
ash
that
ash
might have been what it is. Mm-hmm.
And that was my old radio name, residual ash bed. So I went out and I said to Carla, that thing's still smoking. You might want to break that up. Big mistake. 5 minutes later, I look.
Oh, to break up the wax?
I said, break up the thing and it'll just disintegrate. No, it was solid enough and burning slowly enough that when she went to break it up, you know how when you would break up a Duraflame log,
yeah.
the fire would kick up a little
yeah,
intensity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well,
more
it was not fire that kicked up. There was smoke. I seriously was concerned that neighbors at this point might call the fire department because the entire lanai was smoke filled and it was acrid smoke. It was nasty
oh,
stuff.
I'm sure it won't harm your health.
Still, now I finally I covered it with the rest of the ashes and. It dissipated.
What
it
are
is
you
still
using
smoldering.
As a tool?
What about?
We have a poker. We have
what
a
about
poker.
Throwing some water on it and just
what's
putting
that?
It out completely?
I thought that would be a real disaster.
You know what?
If
it's wax, it's technically an oil fire, isn't it? And
mm-hmm.
the water would make it worse.
Yeah.
Oh, boo.
How
you
about a
throw
fire
it, you could throw it in, pick it up and throw it in
the pond?
The little pond.
Hey, if you balance it just right, that thing will float.
Ladies and gentlemen of the Homeowners Association, I've brought my friend Oscar Santana down here to speak in front of you. Yes, it was Oscar that told me to throw
hazard.
The smoldering
throw
log into the pond that started the fire like Cleveland. Thank
That's
you
right.
very much.
The
That's
pond
it.
Has been burning for 2 years.
Thank you. Yes,
all the motor oil in that pond.
But what a fish fry it was. Fantastic.
The best you will find. Living in CI, who the hell am I? Agent Rock, the juice, I get fly. Cool with the riffing guy. Keep a handle.
Because if you don't, I wax it down like a candle.
The Best of O'Mara.
Yeah. They had the original guy, and he was the spokesmodel. He wasn't the guy that invented the chicken.
Well, he didn't invent the actual chicken, but he did invent a cooking process.
So Harlan Sanders, was he the guy?
Yes.
Was he really the guy?
The secret to Kentucky Fried Chicken is fried chicken in oil, but they fry it in a pressure cooker.
Oh.
But the oil is Rob in the pressure cooker.
Did you see Rob when he did that? He looked like
He's
Ed Helms.
Giddy. He's giddy. He's like, yeah.
But they cooked it in a pressure cooker, and his head went,
I've done it. You see, I've done it.
It's Mighty Pants.
It's academic.
Did you ever do that at VCU or in high school? I'd pop you right in the eye when you did that.
You see, that's why we get along so well now.
Listen, Spiewak, you're fixing the curve.
I never busted the curve. Never rectograding curve. Promise you. But I did one time do it. I got one of those cookbooks. It's like the secret recipes that you can make at home. And that's when I read
about
it.
They don't just throw it in a deep fryer?
No, it's a pressure cooker deep fryer. And I can't imagine the danger of perfecting the process of not only superheated oil, but superheated oil under pressure.
That's how my mom makes chicharron.
Makes what?
I'm sorry. I've never talked about chicharron before.
I don't think so.
What's chicharron?
Chicharron is a similar type of chicken that she cooks in a pressure cooker. And frankly,
It's Bolivian fried chicken.
It's Bolivian
BFC.
Fried chicken, but it's more like a Mongolian chicken that has soy sauce, 11 herbs and spices. It's amazing.
Really? Tell us all about it. I'd love to hear.
Now, is it fried?
It's baked and then she fries it.
Double cooking process.
Double cooking.
It's like braising kind of.
Yeah.
That's what you call it.
How long does it take?
My mom wakes up around 4:45 in the morning on your given holiday.
You see, she's found a way to cook chicken extra deep.
Deep down.
She knocks on everyone's door to tell them what she's doing because she wants us all to feel guilty about not waking up.
Can you describe chicharron? What is the final dish like? It sounds delicious.
It's usually served with a melody of...
Medley.
Damn it! With a song and some fried rice. Which she puts together, quite frankly.
Sounds phenomenal. I mean, I've only experienced one culinary move with you, and that's
barbecue.
When you had me over for the barbecue, and you brought meat that had been marinated at your mom's house, I believe.
Yes.
And it was like the best barbecued meat on a grill that I'd ever eaten in my life. I think I ate most of it that was there. Like, it was delicious. So this chicken it sounds phenomenal. It sounds really,
man.
Really good.
And when my mom's making chicharron, it's like she's ringing a bell. She'll tell me that to guilt me into coming over. By the time she's done saying chicharron, I'm in the car driving.
And it's on the bone with the skin and everything.
Fantastic.
Like,
Mike, I brought up chicharron on Wikipedia, and it reads like this. A chicharron is a dish consisting generally of fried pork belly or fried pork rinds, but it may also be made from chicken, mutton, or beef. Chicharron as a dish with sauce is a finger food snack popular in Spain, Latin America, and other places with Spanish influence, like Bolivia. The singular form or term of variant is also used as a mass noun, blah, blah, blah.
So it's a fried product?
Trying to find the...
Yes, also a famous character played by Adrian Garcia / Pantiflas.
Cantinflas.
Cantinflas. What is his name, Rob? What is it?
Cantinflas. He's most known for Around the World in 80 Days to American audiences.
Cantinflas.
He played Passepartout.
So we didn't find out is it fried, baked, broiled? What exactly
it says,
is it?
You know what it says, and it keeps bringing up, that it's similar food. It's similar to pork rinds.
Yeah, it kind of looks like it. I'm looking at some right now.
So it might be largely chicken fat.
Is it extra crispy?
Oh, it's fantastic. It is great.
But you're not telling me. You're not a foodie,
so you're not
able to.
I'm calling my mom right now. I'm calling my mom right now.
You eat the crap, for God's sake? Come on.
What do you mean, eat it?
Will you eat it?
Don't just look at it.
Eat Rob it. Spiewak would be able to describe it down to the very, very last detail, and you can't.
In the Dominican Republic, chicharron is prepared by washing and drying chicken.
Mrs. Zabalos.
Oh, no, don't do that.
Whoa. Hey, Mom, we're gonna call you back on the air. Are you free?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Love you.
Okay.
All right, ciao.
This is great. I will not be Larry. I will finally be able to speak to Mrs. Zabalos.
The chicken is prepared by washing and drying chicken and cutting it into small pieces, which are then seasoned with a mix of lemon juice and salt. The batter is made from flour, pepper, paprika, and salt in a plastic bag in which the seasoned meat is then shaken, then deep fried without removing excess flour or skin.
Oh, God,
it sounds like an exceptionally fatty fried chicken, which is perfect.
Mike, I just sent them my home number to Pony. Pony's calling in. My you should know a little background before you get into chicharron. My father has left the country once again.
Yes.
He is scheduled to come back. I asked Mom, I was like, when's Dad coming back? He goes, You won't believe this. El noviembre 20. And I said, November 20th, right before Thanksgiving? And she said, sí. She goes, I don't have enough break from him. And I said, what is going on? The man just leaves.
So she is the one. I always knew she was the one.
Right, she's the one.
She wants him to stay away.
Yeah. I think my mom might be on the line now. Are you calling? What's going on? Talk to us.
It is calling now.
Dialing for dollars.
Chicharron in Bolivia is made.
My mom is the
worst. She's calling all her friends to tell her she's going to be on the radio. Chicharron in Bolivia is made of pork ribs seasoned with garlic, oregano, and lemon, then boiled and cooked in its own fat, usually adding beer to the pot for more flavor.
Totally different dish.
Yeah. Pork chicharron is usually served only on Sundays and is eaten with la yawa, a tomato salsa, and mote, a type of corn.
A totally different dish.
Yeah. The other variations are made with chicken and fish.
All right.
I have to call her to tell her. Mom.
Hello.
Mom, I love you. You got to hang up the house line so we can call you back. Press off on the button. Off.
Off?
Yeah, turn. Yeah. Okay, turn it off so we can call you back on the home line.
Okay, I put it off the TV, you say?
Yeah. No, not
no,
the TV.
The TV.
El teléfono de la casa no está atendiendo.
Oh, ya está sonando.
Sí, ahorita te vamos a llamar, all right? Pero tienes que colgar. Okay, I love you, Mom. Bye-bye.
It's so cute when he speaks Spanish.
You think I'm kidding when she calls me to check her email. I have to drive to Olney to check her email. This lady knows nothing about technology.
Well, that's
this
what makes the email wonderful. So convenient.
God bless her. She goes, oh, it's funny. It's making noise. Yes, because it's off the dial.
This is wonderful. Very, very exciting.
This is my life. Everyone thinks it's sweet and all chicharron? No.
Does she serve it with homemade bread?
Here we go.
Oh, here we go.
I love this woman.
I do too.
Hello.
Oh.
Mrs. Zabalios, it's Mike from the Mike O'Mara Show. How are you?
I'm doing good, but right now I cross the line.
That's quite all right, ma'am. We are delighted to have you on the show. How is every little thing today?
Very good. Only little narrow break with a storm, you know?
Yes. Are you watching the hurricane coverage down in the Carolinas?
Yes, I do. It made me more nervous. That's why I grow with my husband, Phil, in natural disaster. I grow all my life with my kids
in that
way,
with,
you know?
With my dad going
with
to
natural
hurricanes.
Disasters.
Yeah,
sure. I understand. You don't need to prop me up.
I'm sorry.
I know what she's doing
what
here.
She's saying.
Hey, you know what we were talking about, Mrs. Zabalios? We were talking about chicharron. Oscar
chicharron?
Was describing chicharron and talking about how wonderful it was. And, you know, Rob and I, we love food. Your son eats a bit, but he doesn't eat like we do. And when he was describing the chicharron, it just made my mouth water, and it sounds like it's fantastic. Is that the best thing that you make for your family? Is that their favorite dish, chicharron?
No, it's not the best thing, but once in a while I do it because it's hard to do it, you know?
Right,
it takes
it's hard.
A long time.
Yes, it takes a long time.
All depends what you want, chicken, chicharron de pollo, or chicharron de pork.
Oh, okay, different options.
Oh, so you make pork and you make chicken, and they're different dishes, right?
And different dishes, I can do one day one thing, I can do another day another thing. But those two dishes, they are hard. But the chicken the other day I did, I made it, they were... For many years, I don't do it, and then was good. They were crazy about because when they were little, younger, I did more often. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
do you think, Mrs. Zabalios, do you think you would be able to teach Oscar's new bride, Shannon, how to make chicharron? Do you think you would be able to teach her that? Oscar, do you think she'd be willing to learn how to make chicharron?
I think she would try at least. And Mom, in the past,
I am open. I'm open to teach her anything she wanted. Nobody. When I marry, I don't know anything.
Well, you learned after you got married.
Until the man taught you everything, right, Mom?
No. Because you love that person, you learn. My mother-in-law was excellent cooker. And then from her, she never teach me, but I look at what she did.
Oh, so you observed your mother-in-law and you were able to learn that way.
But you wanted to make dad happy because he's the man of the house and ran the home.
Mrs. Zabalios, let me ask, has Shannon showed interest in cooking or doing things around the house to you? Has she asked you any questions?
In the kitchen, not much, but it's different now. She's the way that my son.
Yes.
She's learning a lot, I am very happy with her.
Oh, you're happy with her. That's what I was getting at. That's wonderful.
Has she ever observed or asked questions about the vacuum cleaner?
Hey, Rob, you got her.
That's
there
good.
You go.
Thank
That's
you.
Wonderful. That's wonderful. That's
wonderful. Don't be mean.
No, don't be mean. I am curious, though. You say that chicharron is not the greatest thing you cook. What, in your opinion, Mrs. Zabaios, is the greatest thing you cook?
Paella.
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 Oh, yeah. God, the best.
God. Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorite dishes. I would love to. I'm just going to come up to Washington, D.C. I'm going to go drive out to Olney.
Let me know. I do one excellent barbecue. The way I do it with good beef is the best thing. Good costillitas, you know?
Ribs.
Ribs.
That's what, you know what? I'll tell you what. Next time I'm in Washington, instead of staying at a hotel, I'll stay with you, Mrs. Zabaios, and you'll cook for me.
Stay with me. I have a lot of room here.
That's wonderful. And I'll do something to earn my keep, like I'll power wash your deck or something like that. I will.
No,
my deck
is shiny now.
Oh, why is your deck? Who power washed your deck, Mrs. Zabaios?
I pay somebody.
Oh, God, love you. Chicharron. I someday really hope to sample, have a sample of all of your wonderful cooking. Yes, Rob.
While we're talking chicharron, this may shock you, Mrs. Zabaios, but Oscar was horribly vague when he was describing the process.
Yes,
is the meat both baked then fried? Is that how you cook it?
Yeah, the chicken. The chicken, what I do is I cut in pieces. The big pieces you have in like a leg.
Yes.
I cut in two. Then I macerate it for 2 hours in good wine. And good, no wine is a strong liquid like a cognac.
You.
Yes.
Or whiskey or rum.
Oh, wow.
I put it for 2 hours.
Right.
Then I take it off that. And then I fry first with nothing.
Oh, my God.
And then... I don't try. I take it off all the blood they had at the meat.
Right.
And out. Then I put in the...
pressure cooker.
What I say. I put a black pepper, salt, and then I put in the flour.
Okay.
Not in the flour. It's in the maicena. It's like
it's
argo.
Moving. It's moving.
You know?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
And then I fry.
Oh, man.
Then the soy sauce.
Mm-hmm.
This is more like stylish in Spanish. There's more Chinese food, my Chinese chicken,
but
a different way, you know. I learned in my country when I was.
And what do you serve it? What do you serve it with?
With chaufa rice. It's a fried rice.
Wow.
You know what?
So even though it has Asian flavor to
it. My arteries are starting to clog just hearing this. This is fantastic.
Even though the flavors are Asian, the cooking process is Bolivian.
Yeah.
Okay.
The name is only the Asian, but the cooking, what I do is Bolivian. It's different from any chicken you can buy in the Chinese.
I've never had it anywhere else, Mom. I love it. Oh.
Well, before we let you go, thank you for that beautiful description of the food.
More welcome. Everybody in your work, they can come. Tell me how many people. I used to have 80 people.
Oh, wow.
100 people in my home. And then they were welcome. Everybody loved my food.
We're going out there to eat.
Absolutely.
When I come back to Washington, we'll be up there in a couple of years. I'm really excited about that.
Come with your wife, your children.
You know what, Mrs. Zabaios, it's hard for me to leave Florida once I get down there. It really is. It's really hard to get me out of that state. But you know what? I'll tell you something. Get a few more hurricanes, you get me out of there permanently. So anyway, that's wonderful. You know what? That sounds like, Rob.
Unreal.
How great does that sound delicious?
I can taste it in my mouth.
But at the root of this, Mommy, it's to make sure that your man is happy, right? That your man is taken care of, that he's fed, that he understands how important he is, right? The man in the world.
Yes, I do.
Yes.
Yes. All women should know that.
No,
all women
don't
should
boss
understand.
Me around. But I will do it the nice thing.
Don't boss her around, remember, but she'll do nice things for you.
That's right.
And now, Mrs. Zabaios, that Mr. Zabaios has left and he's gone for a while. I know you're very disappointed that he's gone. That's enough. That's all I need. God bless you,
bingo.
Mrs. Zabaios. That's it. That's a bingo. Thank you very much, Rob Speedway. That's the bit right there.
Bye, Mrs. Z.
The best of O'Mara.
Will you entertain a sleep question?
Yes.
When you got your CPAP machine, you had your sleep study, then you had a follow-up.
Right.
How many follow-ups before you actually got your machine and your mask?
Oh, boy. Let me see. I did it differently. I had a pal. I had a connection. I had a hookup.
He knew a guy.
You got a guy that knew a
guy. How do you know a CPAP guy? That's not a guy people usually know.
His name is Guy CPAP.
An anonymous listener to the show. A guy's probably listening right now, and I want to give him a big hug.
Do you remember his name?
Kiss.
You don't remember his name.
I totally know his name.
What's
his name?
I know
where he lives.
What's
I'm not telling you his name. I'm not telling you his
first name. Everybody has a first name.
I'm not telling you.
You don't remember his name.
I know his first name. It's Ronique.
Ronique in Vegas? You went all the way out to Vegas to get your CPAP machine?
I say it because it's Ronique's birthday. It was only a joke.
This man has been to my home 4 times.
Oh.
Does he own a bar in Manassas?
No. I'm talking about the my hookup. I'm talking about my guy.
You still don't remember his first name? He's been to your house four times?
I know his I know his first name.
We can bleep it out.
I can't because he had asked at the time for anonymity.
I see.
Because
witness protection program.
What's that?
Witness protection program.
It's the witness protection program, and he's not in the area anymore.
Did he make a CPAP joke? Did he say?
I happen to know that about him too.
Oh, wow.
He made his CPAP joke, Oscar. He said, never breathe a word of this.
Why are you asking? Are you not getting your machine quick enough?
I don't know. I have a follow-up today following my second study. I think I get my mask today, and I'm a little jacked.
Are you but it's just not your mask. Are you getting the whole machine?
Well, yeah. I mean, I would get everything. It looks kind of like an auric vacuum, Mike. There's a handle and a hose and everything. And
I will tell you this. It requires, and they probably said this to you already, it requires a little getting used to.
Yes.
You have to kind of acclimate to it. I remember the first time I put it on and I pressed the little button and the air comes in and it's like. I can't breathe.
Were you bothered by the fact that even if you like stop breathing, not hold your breath like when you're going underwater, but if you just stop breathing, you can feel a breeze coming out of your mouth?
Yeah.
It's very odd.
It's like G forces.
But I'm excited. I bought 3 gallons of distilled water yesterday, so I'm ready to go. My fingers are crossed that the strange visitor from the East is going to issue me my machine today.
So you're going to sleep with it tonight, maybe,
hopefully,
right?
Yeah. And without the wires, you know, it could be great.
I will note that. I will make a note of that because I'm very curious to see how you do your first night with it. Because in my case, it was very soon thereafter that I had, like, an amazing night's sleep. I just came off a phenomenal night's sleep. You know, I hate to mention the client again, but it is, you know, the wonderful Sleep Number bed. But I also, that machine that I have helps me out. And I would venture to say that I've become a little bit addicted to it. I truly like it. Oscar's always over there. Don't you guys realize that if you just took care of yourselves, you wouldn't have to do any of this.
Oscar, just so you think we do listen to you. The name of the most current Cake and Cookies episode is Too Fat to Sleep. So I want you to know that we do listen.
It's okay.
And I was given a piece of advice from another user, a friend of mine, that I'd like to pass along to you, Mike. When you're wearing your CPAP machine, Mike, don't let anyone fart near the intake.
The one thing you will find, Rob, is you.
That must taste horrible.
Oh, God.
I'll let you know.
The worst.
The dog, get away from there.
Well, my intake's always over on my vanity. It's always on my vanity.
Oh, your beautiful vanity. Yeah. You're a slave to it.
My nightstand, I mean. I call it.
No, you call it
vanity.
Vanity. Stop lying.
It's a nightstand.
Is that where you keep your makeup? Your big curved mirror and your powder puff.
Do you brush your hair there before you go to bed?
100 strokes.
With my silver brush.
Yeah.
Now, you have the large mirror that's mounted, but also a hand mirror as well, right?
Yeah,
so you can
absolutely.
See the back of your beautiful head.
And of course,
mirror,
right now,
mirror on the wall. Who's the best mimic of them all?
I'm carrying my compact.
Of course. I'll be right out, Carla. My nose is a little shiny. I'll be at the vanity.
I have to go powder my nose. I'll be sitting at the vanity. And it's pink.
Of course it is.
It's pink. And it's got actually the big mirror in the middle, but then the folding in mirror
on
the side.
That way
so
you can
angles.
See. Yeah, you can see all sides of your beautiful face.
Yeah, it's where I put my makeup on, brush my hair, and play with my dolls. That's what happens with it.
Mike's American Girl dolls.
Only the best for Mike.
I'm very, very curious as to how you're going to do with that. I'd like to really find out. The one thing I will warn you, when you get the machine, and if you turn, do you sleep on your back side or stomach?
I sleep primarily on my left side.
Left side, okay. Yeah. That means...
facing my vanity, so I should be fine.
Are you facing the wall or are you facing your wife?
I'm always the wall.
Oh, the wall? Because if you turn, I've had this happen with Carla. If you turn on your side and you switch, I switch. I go from one, sleep on my side, and I'll sleep sometimes on my right, sometimes on my left. I'm all right. I'm all
right. Right, right. I'm all right. Right, I'm all right. Right, right, right.
If you face your wife, we have this problem because it blows the wind into your lungs.
And she wakes up screaming?
Terrified.
It will blow it out of the top of the mask.
Right.
So you've got a steady stream of air, and if you point to her, she's getting a concentrated breeze, which is not going to be good for her to sleep with.
What I do is I sleep either on my back or my left side facing away from Carrie and probably facing where the CPAP machine will be. So I've actually been preparing for this, Mike, for 43 years.
You no longer sleep at the foot of the bed, do you?
No, curled. Curled. Curled at my wife's feet.
Sleeping curled up at the foot of the bed.
Yes.
And Rob has a doggy bed from Costco.
I occasionally scratch my ear, but I use my foot to do it. So I hope I don't knock the mask off. I tell you what, Mike, if I am issued the mask, I will know before close of business today. I will text you, and perhaps tomorrow we can compare our headgear.
Very exciting.
Would you like that?
Yeah, we'll start the show. If you have it, bring it in, and I'll start the show with it. We can both start the show with our masks tomorrow.
I'd like that. It'll make the mailbag very interesting.
Something for people to tune in for. Super duper.
If people are wondering what I'm thinking right now.
Okay, thanks for bringing that up, Oscar.
Yeah, my mindset is that I work with two cautionary tales.
That's all.
That's all
that's
I got.
That's too goddamn funny.
And one a-hole.
So do you guys care about Craig Ferguson? Have we covered that pretty much?
I feel bad for him. I still feel for him. I don't think it was his choice. I think that you hit the nail on the head, and Rob as well, when you said that the odds of him just either leaving or getting pushed out were high simply because they are trying to do everything to get more young and more hip.
But I read on Facebook somewhere last night his contract gave him right of first refusal for Letterman's show. That was written into his contract.
That happened with Conan as well. He gets paid out $9 million. Up to $9 million. Well, he gets paid regardless.
I'm sure he'll be fine, as will the robot.
The thing about Craig Ferguson, though, is you're banished when you're in that time slot. And I don't think a lot of America knew how good he was. And the thing that's ignored about Craig Ferguson is just how incredible an interviewer he was.
Fearless.
I watched Craig Ferguson do an interview. His interviews, and nobody talks about this. What I hate about coverage of media in America. Nobody talks about his real skill. And his real skill, he did interviews that I would dream to do. He was so at ease with all of his guests that he made them all feel equally important and equally mocked at the same time. And there are not a lot of people that can do that. You know, I mean, you go back to one of the things Howard Stern did when Howard started doing a lot of celebrity interviews.
Right.
Is Howard would go so edgy. And nobody could do edgy like Howard could do edgy. But what Howard never had was the real warmth that Craig Ferguson had. Craig Ferguson could go really edgy too, but he did it in such a playful way. I just never saw anybody like him. And I'm not diminishing what Howard did.
No.
Because Howard's interviews were, you know, Howard changed the landscape and was fearless in the area of celebrity interviews, and nobody did it. I always said that. I've never said it publicly, actually, about Howard Stern. Nobody did celebrity interviews as fearlessly as Howard did it. And I thought Craig Ferguson balanced the two, and nobody did interviews on TV that he did.
I think also, you know, as great of an interviewer as he was, keep in mind, he was always doing it with the stars that weren't on The Tonight Show and they weren't on Letterman. He was getting, as a rule, second-tier stars, and he made you care about what they had to say, and that speaks well of the interviewer. But also, he was a brilliant monologist, and he would come out and talk in a way that no one had, maybe since, like, Jack Parr. And he was just so comfortable on screen. I was going to save this for the vault, but I'd like to play it now. Okay. Letterman actually referenced Ferguson last night and said a lot. This is a brief tape, but very, very nice. And, you know, Dave doesn't hand out a lot of compliments.
Right.
And I thought this was pretty genuine.
Did you hear this last night?
Sir.
Craig Ferguson announced that he will be leaving his show, The Late Late Show, which comes on right after this show.
Yeah.
at the end of the year, which is too bad. He's been on that program, the star of the show, since 2005.
Uh-huh.
And he's going on to do other things, I guess a new show that is in the works for him. But he his show was unlike any other late night show. And I'm telling you, to be unique in the world of television, virtually impossible.
Right.
So congratulations to Craig on a great run. And we all wish him well.
I love Dave.
And it's true.
So Dave's nice. Got class. Dave's
classy.
Got total class.
Very classy.
And what here's what you got. You now I'm gonna use the dinger buzzer thing too.
Okay.
Because and I'm talking about the product, the overall product. I'm talking about celebrity interviewers, okay?
Okay.
You got Jimmy Kimmel, who will not get a buzzer or a dinger for celebrity interviews, because I think Jimmy Kimmel, of the people I'm going to mention, is pretty damn good and
okay.
gets by and does a pretty decent celebrity interview. Not stellar. Then you got Jimmy Fallon.
Absolutely.
That's his interview. Absolutely horrible interview. I mean, really, already just wide-eyed, playful, and does great sketches with the guests, but doesn't have that. And then you got Conan O'Brien. Always one of the worst celebrity interviews ever seen, and brilliant in other ways. So I always like the interview segments, and it's frustrating for me that we're not. And Stephen Colbert is the big question mark
right.
as far as how he's going to do when he really has to be Stephen Colbert. Because I look, when I go back and look at the old TV shows like Johnny Carson and you know. And Johnny Carson.
All right, Mike, how about a little love for Merv?
Merv, well, yeah. Ooh, Merv.
Ooh.
Oscar.
I've never seen Merv Griffin
You
before.
Never saw Merv, and I will tell you how
you didn't miss
to describe.
Too much.
You really did. Merv would be, the way his celebrity interview would be like, so how are you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No.
So what have you been doing? Oh, really? Yeah. Really? But
like
it was
a
so
lazy
funny.
Larry King.
Like very L.A., very like, you know, ooh, yeah, terrific, ooh, that kind of
oh,
way.
Oh, he was, just so,
yeah, like daddy-o.
The definition of vanilla. I mean,
yeah.
really, and what he would do, if I was Merv and I had you two as guests,
yes.
I'd say, Oscar, how you doing?
I'm great. What's going
Mike,
on, Merv?
And he'd say, Mike, Oscar's doing great. Because he'd have a lot of people on the couch.
Oh, like a right. talking tree. Like
yeah,
a,
and he'd bounce around.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
And Merv's monologue really was coming out and talking about the guests that would be
yeah.
on his show, and it was pre-written for him. But Merv delivered it in such a way, this next gentleman has been making movies for so very, very long. We are thrilled and delighted to have Mr. Buddy Hackett on the show today. You know, and he just would go on and do it like that, and it was not fun.
And he was the host of the Tonight Show before, Johnny?
No, he had his own show.
He had his own show, talk show.
What about the Dick Van Dyke show?
This is the Merv Griffin theme right here.
How do you have this?
I love this theme song because
great
it is
theme.
So cheesy.
It is cheesy. Merv Griffin,
and
a band singer.
And, yo, don't forget, Mike, he had a big hit in, like, 1940? And this is great. He sings in a character voice, Oscar.
Does he?
Yes, he does. Like a Cockney, okay?
Down at an English fair, one evening I was there, when I heard a showman shouting underneath the plate.
Thank you, Rob.
We didn't get to the hook, but it was called I've Got a Lovely Bunch of Coconuts.
The hook. I've Got a Lovely Bunch of Coconuts.
There's a hook. Yeah, absolutely.
So what I was going to say is Craig Ferguson will be missed. I hope he shows up again. And it, to me, is CBS once again going flavor of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at the you know, they look at the ratings. That's a big deal. But you've got a totally untried, unproven guy as far as the celebrity interview is, you know, he's done them in character, but he's never done them as
Chelsea,
you know, as Stephen Colbert.
Chelsea Handler is rumored to take that slot. That's the front runner right
Might
now.
Be a good fit for her in late
I wish
night.
I knew more. I wish I watched her show more because I don't watch it enough. And I
well, you're not a 16-year-old chick. So
yeah, and
what?
You know, what do you? What's your opinion of Chelsea Handler?
Well, I mean, right now her interviews are fun yet abrasive, so you don't know what you're going to get when you watch them, right?
Her television show is like a slam book.
Yeah, and she also she's leaving E, so she's going to have the opportunity to do something else.
Right.
And this has actually been in the works for a while, and now it's all coming together because about 6 months ago she did an interview where she was on the fence of staying with the E show and re-upping mm-hmm. or leaving, and maybe And we, you know, you never know, but maybe these talks were already in the works where these are the possibilities, just like in radio, sure. where people talk about this is what's going to happen next year, someone's contract is up, and then maybe you can slide in there. A step up from the E! Television show, which had great ratings for you, that's why they wanted to re-up it, would be that slot. It would be Craig Ferguson's late night slot. Because you're not just on cable, you're on network television, and some more eyeballs can see you.
Yeah, and you know, Chelsea, she's very brave. She did a lot of stuff on E! That you wouldn't think a star of her magnitude would do. And I think that the more we discuss Chelsea's slot, the better it will work out for her.
She's got a New York Times bestselling book as well out, so she's doing well.
Yeah. I think she's had a very questionable slot.
Really?
Yeah.
Trouble with her slot?
Have you done a lot of thinking about Chelsea's slot?
I haven't really considered it. I think the E! Show is 30 minutes, right?
Yeah.
So this would be a much bigger slot.
Yeah, and 50 Cent knows about her slot.
Oh, he does.
They dated.
Yeah.
Very good. We'll wish her the very, very best.
She can hold much more than 50 Cent in that slot.
Very, very excited.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOMaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.